our help and only expectation. It's in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 428, stanza 8. Thy word is as a lamp unto my feet, and what's following? The reading of the Holy Scriptures can be found in the last chapter of Paul's letter to Titus, Titus chapter 3, before the 12 articles.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. A man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he that is such is subverted and sinned, being condemned of himself. When I shall send Artemas unto thee, or Tychicus, be diligent to come unto me to Nicopolis, for I have determined there to winter. Bring Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. Grace be with you all. Amen.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. What shall we pray, Lord? Thou hast said, not your will, but my will be done. Not our will. Not our will of selfishness, but thy glorious will, thy decree, and it will be done, we pray. It will be done, Lord, we believe. Therefore there is hope, for nothing is idle, and nothing is worthless. It's all serving the good purpose of thee. For the world is a world that's abandoning thee. But thou art drawing thy own people out of the world, and they are world in themselves, to believe in thee and have eternal life. And once the world will be renewed in the latter days, a new heaven and a new earth in heaven will be as the new Jerusalem on earth. There will be no distance anymore, but an eternal communion with thee and the world and all thy people that's waiting for it. We pray, Lord, for the family. When a brother passed away these days, and we pray that thou would bless them and that they might be witnesses of thee and thy word. Thou knowest where he is. He's educated properly. His mother was drawn out of the world and brought to the knowledge of thee. And examples don't convert us. And if there is no conversion, it's even worse for us. But have mercy upon the family, Lord, and be a witness on the days to come. We pray for the sick and afflicted, those who are in trouble, spiritually sometimes, physically, and sometimes business-wise. Remember the family Van Kampen. Be with him and bring him home safely. Lord, it's all in thy hands. But we may gain the whole world and lose our souls. We may be healthy our whole life and have a lost soul. What will profit it us? And therefore remember us also this night in preaching and hearing. And O Holy Ghost, be the applicator to our hearts, that we don't only hear it, but that there might be thy word in our mouth and in our hearts. Have mercy upon us, dear Lord. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Congregation, Titus, especially in this last chapter, speaks about good works. In 14, that's even the last verse before the end, he says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they may be not unfruitful. But he also speaks, and that's the first point this night. In verse 8 we start, this is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable unto men. Remember again, these things are good and profitable unto men. Secondly, how to deal with heretics, which bring another doctrine. The man that's a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject, knowing that he is such a subverted, is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Two things this night. In the first place, good works. In the second place, how you deal with heretics in the church. But let's first sing again 3:22, 2:3 and 4. Sincerely I have sought thee, Lord. O let me not from thee depart. 2:3 and 4, 3:22. This is a faithful saying. It means this saying, says the apostle in verse 8, is true. Like God is true. Trustworthy. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. We have dealt last time with it. Always preaching the same. Luther says you should write it with capital letters like towers of a church. Otherwise they can't read it. And preach it every Sunday. Otherwise they forget it. That's the work of a minister. Affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. That's praying a lot. Going to church every time. Have a rosary. Pray, prayer after prayer. Do you see, congregation, it's remarkable that in the text verse, Titus is not admonished to obey and to serve the first table of the law. Strange. Doesn't that belong to good works? In the first place, if we deal with the first table of the law, all our works need to be perfect, otherwise they are no good works. If we stand before God, we need perfect works, righteous works, holy works, without blame and spot. And I thought, why is it just one-sided? If you look carefully to this text, you see, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And these things are good and profitable unto man. Second time. Good works. Our work, says the Apostle Paul, good works, these are good and profitable unto man. Second table of law. I meditated about it. And the Lord brought me to mind John 6. Verse 28. And they said to him, that's the Lord Jesus, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? First table of law. The works for God. And he answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. If you believe on him whom he has sent, you have all the good works towards God. Perfect works, holy works, glorifying God, honoring him. And therefore the apostle says also to Titus, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. Luther says, the first thing is God works faith to heaven in Christ, in God. And he sends his spirit to earth, love, one and other, brotherly love. So by faith in Christ, I've all the good works to the glory of God perfectly, as if I'd never sinned nor done any evil. But if we believe in Christ, he sends his Spirit of love. To maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto man. You don't need to be a missionary to do good works. I'm not saying God can call you to it, it's a special call. You don't need to be so special in the sight of man. A holy saint. But he clearly says, and now I come to the matter, he clearly says, things which are good and profitable unto man. Do you know, let's make it plain. If you're a housewife, you have to care for the household. Which are good and profitable unto your children. If you're a doctor, you have to be a good doctor. Or a gardener, you have to do your garden profits good, I mean. Why? That people would know that you're a Christian. Paul says it here, which doing good and are profitable unto man. You don't need specialties. If you're a grandmother, sometimes you take care of your grandchildren and call them home. And if you're a father, you have to work with your hands and have some for the poor. And that all by love. Good works is to be a good whole household, a good mother. A mother who loves their children in the name of the Lord. Or a grandfather. Or a laborer in the factory. See, we always make some special things, good works, and then we say, but they, the things of everyday's life, to take care and be profitable to man. Good work. Which is good in the eyes of the Lord. And why I say this, people always say to me, Pastor, I don't have good works. I said, you did work the whole day, taking care of your schoolwork. Or labor on the factory. Or a housewife. That's a housewife under God, if you're a Christian. And your house should see it. And if you're a farmer, your animals should know that you're a Christian. Dealing nicely, faithfully, feeding, and helping them. For they are creatures of God, which are good and profitable unto man. Hey, that's half. No. Faith is first, then you're perfect in the sight and the eyes of God. But if love comes down. Love your neighbor. Love even your enemies. Oh man. Those who slander you. Mock you. Hate you. What's good? If they beat up your one cheek, give the other. If they curse you, bless them. If they always speak about you like this, don't listen. Things weren't good. Carlos, as God has said. And my dear congregation, to be honest here, I'm just beginning. We always say, I don't have good works in here. But that they maintain good works. Carlos. And which are profitable, just good, in the, like Christ has said it. And which are useful for others, spiritually and factually. That the world may see how they love each other in Christ. Was I a good father? Ever be nice to my neighbors? Have always given the other cheek when they beated me up spiritually and factually? Am I praying for my enemies like Stephanus did? To maintain good works which are useful, profitable, not seeking first your own profit, but their profit. And to man, the Bible doesn't even say in this text to the children of God. Yes, Paul says it on a certain place first. But then unto all men. And the Lord Jesus extended it, and I said it already, to your enemies. Paul has dealt already with it in this chapter and said, look what you have before yourself. And how God's goodness in Christ has turned you around, washed you from all your sins. And I said last week, then you can never come above another sinner in your neighborhood. You are and were the same. And when you condemn others, that's a Pharisee, they do the same things. If you're a legalist and you condemn others, you do the same things as the others do. And my dear congregation, again, that's not by my love, but that love that constrains me by His love. His love constrains me, directs me. You know what we should ask? Have mercy upon me, the sinner. We normally like those who like us. And I am the same. If they mistreat you, then you throw them on the dunghill. If they disagree a little bit with you, then and to man, it doesn't say to my people, to man, to creatures who has created God in His grace and goodness. Grace is grace in Christ, but that's the people of God, but in His goodness. Can you see, congregation, that we that we need Christ as the high priest praying as a burnt sacrifice, but also as a thanksgiving sacrifice. He has to sacrifice and has sacrificed for our thankfulness, or I can better say, our unthankfulness. If we feel it a bit, there we go. And if we don't feel it, we sometimes are as hard as a stone. No, Pastor, no. The Bible says so. And therefore he says, preach it, that they maintain. Maintain is not giving up, asking, begging. You bring us under the law again. No, I didn't. I started by saying, faith in Christ makes you perfect. But now the fruits of it, of his communion, by his Spirit. And therefore he ends in 14 and says, let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Christ brings forth fruits. Not my fruits. His fruits. But the work of the Holy Ghost. May I ask you, let's ask each other. Has there been a time that no one was your enemy, that you could kiss them and embrace them? When was that time? When you were embraced by Christ, you had no enemies anymore. But when you got a bit converted, there you started again. And if newly experienced grace is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, you have a desire to love because you are loved. And to man. Kalos, good. And profitable. What's the most profitable? If you might be used in his ministry as a witness of Christ, and the souls might be saved. Not only for temporal life, but of all, first seek ye the kingdom, interest of the kingdom of God. Oh, my dear congregation, shouldn't we start saying, have mercy upon us, Lord? Fighting, hindering, talking, slandering, denying, judgment, poorness. So two things. Let's recapture it again. By faith in Christ, you're perfect, have all the good works you need. But there's a fruit of the communion with Christ by his love. And when God saved your soul, you know what happened. You are embracing worldly sinners, loving them, and asking the Lord to be fruitful, but how far may that be away today? Fighting. And we say for truth's sake, I know. But sometimes fighting for truth's sake gives you hardened heart and losing love. Remember what I'm saying? I'm right and you're wrong. Now Paul deals with this. He says, let's not fight and strive about foolish questions of the law and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law. They are unprofitable and vain. We're always fighting how to do, what to do, they do, and we do. And genealogy, I have a good family, my family is... My grandfather was a real child of God, and there we go. And probably you're better than the rest, or you're in a good church. Or I don't know what you want to say. But they are unprofitable. The law doesn't bring forth fruit. It's only the finished law of love, the Holy Ghost, makes you fruitful in Christ. He is the stem. And if you're engrafted in Him, you will bring forth fruit to the glory of God. Might be, eh? Might be careful. Might be careful, eh? Desire, eh? To maintain good works, these things are good and profitable unto man. I thought by preparing this, I said, Lord, what a miserable man am I? There were better days in my life. More better days. Have mercy upon me. Be my thanksgiving sacrifice, please, Lord. Please, my thanksgiving sacrifice. My thanksgiving has to be redeemed, Lord. Be forgiven even that I'm not. And I cannot, without Thee, I can't even do nothing. Have mercy upon me, the sinner, alone. Let's sing again. And then we start with the second thing. That's 423, four stanzas. The four stanza where we will sing together. Confounded be all they who in their folly pray. And what's following the fourth stanza, 423. Second thing is that a man, it's admonition, eh? It's exhortation. And Paul continues to Titus, he says, and a man that is an heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. A man, a heretic. An heretic, the word heretic means he turns away. He turns around and away. That's the word literally translated. So a heretic is a man who were and was in our midst. In the midst of the congregation. But he turned around and away out of the church. First, he belonged to the church. Therefore, Paul says that he should be admonished two times. That's not Matthew 18. Matthew 18 is dealing with a person, person to person. And if he doesn't listen, go to the congregation, that's the consistory, the elders, the deacons, and the pastor, the bishop. That's what Paul says in Matthew 18. But the heretic, when he comes into the church and changes the doctrines of grace and teaches them, starting his own church, allowing false doctrines, pursuing it, that's a heretic. So heretic never comes from outside of the church. It comes from inside of the church. They fight the most with you. The enemies inside the church are more severe enemies than them outside of the church. They know it. They knew it. And turn their back to the truth. That's heretic. It started the first ages of Christianity. You know them all, probably. The coppersmith and others. It means where the truth is preached, heretics are born. Some openly opposing the truth. Some secretly. That's a heretic. Now let's start. We know all that the Dutch canons brought us, or were brought upon us, because of heretics. Now what were the heretics that brought upon us the Dutch canons? The Bible even says that we need them, confessing truth. That's another matter. But this first. What did they say? What did Arminius say? And Cornard and others. What did they teach? Different than the doctrines of grace. They denied the total depravity of man, that man can do nothing outside of God. Question 8. They were opposed to question and answer 8 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Are we then so corrupt that we are wholly incapable of doing any good and inclined to all wickedness? Answer, indeed we are. Except we are regenerated, and there you have it, just dealt with, by the Spirit of God. Faith in Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to be fruitful, not by myself, by godly and divine love. Be fruitful in the kingdom of God. So they opposed the doctrines of the total depravity of man. They say, we can have a will, we can make a decision. Now, they even believed that after the fall, Abram or Adam stayed the same. His righteousness was some extras. And he lost that righteousness, but he stayed the same. He could make a good decision. Later on, they turned a bit and said, by the preaching of the gospel, a man is able to make a good decision. So when the gospel is preached in a congregation, they can make a decision to accept Jesus. But why did they come to this point? What do you think? That's inherent, that belongs to a fallen sinner. We want to do, know, have something. And then they say to me, and they did it already this week somewhere, say, we're not stocks and blocks. No, we are not stocks and blocks, but we can do nothing that God pleases. Even our good works can please God. That's a fruit of the Spirit in Christ Jesus. They were opposed to it. Wrote whole books, the remonstrance, cornered. And most of the congregations in the Netherlands were Arminians. The whole province of Utrecht was. But Antwerp was lost to the Spaniards. Antwerp was a Protestant city. And the Spanish army conquered, and now you see history, Antwerp. And then those ministers came to the north, Petrus Datinus, a reformed minister who translated the Psalms for the first time. God used them to expose heretics. A heretic is the most dangerous man in the midst of a congregation. It turns whole congregations upside down. And they adhere to them because you can do something. You can be something. Not being a nothing in Christ and all. They don't like that. They like to accept Jesus, but they don't like the doctrines that Christ has to be revealed to your soul to be received and embraced. And thousands around us believe it. I go even a step further. The Arminians believe that you could bring to yourself remorse and contrite hearts as a condition for salvation. You could make yourself sorrowful for sin. They have it, if it's a good work or a bad work, they kept it in their own hands. And said, and if you can work your own sorrow, then God will find you. So the condition I condition is having my own sorrowness. And contrite heart and spirit. We don't believe by nature, also in church, that we are dead in trespasses and sin. There is an inner resistance in you and me, even in you and me. Unless you come to the end of your rope. Unless you come to the end of your rope. You don't dare to pray anymore. Have no hands to believe and to receive, and on your way to hell, and Christ is revealed to your soul. He embraces you and kisses you. And I tell you this, my dear friend, there are people, they seem to be very orthodox and very stringent, legally bounded, but they hate the gospel. The total depravity. Do you know what Christ says? They don't hate you. He says, who is he such? It was encouraging for me this week. They don't hate you, but they hate me. He says, do you know why? Because I've said to them they are evil. Now be honest, Do you say to your children they are evil? And they can do nothing for their salvation? Now be honest. Are you warning them? Now let's make it very plain. Are you teaching them, unless God intervenes and you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God? Yeah, but Pastor, I have already little beginning. Oh yeah. That's remonstrance. For Christ is the Alpha, the beginning and the end. And not your beginning. And congregation, this will always bring resistance. And now I'm going a bit deeper. And the carnal minded doesn't, the flesh doesn't subdue, even my flesh doesn't subdue to the condemnation of the law. And it cannot. That's only grace by God. Conviction of work. Sinning against the law and the gospel, breaking your heart, that's divine. Begging for mercy. But that's not your work. You're not prepared. Now, why I say this, Arminianism comes in two different ways. The first place, Arminianism says, I'm a sinner and therefore I can get grace. If you're a sinner, you can't get grace. You get hell. And again, then you make your own condition to keep it in your, not believing that you're totally depraved and on your way to the eternal destruction. And I tell you this, my dear friend, they will fight with you if you keep this doctrine. They will start in hating you like they hated the Lord Jesus. He said they didn't hate you, they hated me for it. And do you know what's the difficulty? Then we try to give in a little bit. Yeah, I know. Man has responsibilities. There it starts, eh? There it starts. Man has responsibilities. But if you're dead in trespasses and sins, where are your actions or responsibilities to adhere to your responsibility? Now, why do you address this, though? Because that's how I feel it, especially today. On the one hand, they know their misery, and they say, my misery is the beginning of my salvation. If God convicts you by law and gospel, he brings you to the knowledge of sin not only, but eternal judgment. And the moment God cuts that little thread and you fall and accept judgment, Christ is coming that same moment. But congregation, this is a doctrine. And this is a teaching where people can work with nothing. Yeah. Do I have to wait then? Even when I speak to my catechism classes, I know your problem, boys. When I say you need a true faith for confession. Yeah, but... Oh, yeah. Do you know, sometimes I'm thinking I'm giving up. It seems to be a doctrine that's forsaken and impossible to preach. Are you really, Pastor? I'm not. I cannot. But I know when God convicted me, there was a moment I accepted judgment and there was a flat way. He didn't condemn me that moment, but saved me. He came, embracing my soul. And what did you do to it? Nothing than all things against it. But if you start preaching this or telling this, the whole of the Netherlands, almost the whole, were Arminians. And God sent some ministers from Antwerp to preach the truth. And by the grace of God, on the Dutch Senate, when they studied the word and found out this truth, like taught in the Dutch canons. Therefore, people, if people don't like the Dutch canons, listen to what I'm saying, they are not according to the scriptures living. For they studied the Bible for 2 years and said, this is a total depravity, irresistible grace. Christ is not only for the whole world come, but only for his people. We know it, tulip. Total depravity. Unconditional election. Limited atonement. Irresistible grace. And perseverance of saints. That's grace. And if people say, I miss one and I'm not agreeing with one, they don't agree with it at all. Why do you say this so loud? For we are in it. People like it, make a decision. Clapping hands. And I'm not saying God's people didn't clap hands. They clapped hands. The mountains even clapped hands. But if you start teaching the total depravity, and I'm giving just an example. I could give other examples in church history. Now what does the Bible say about it? What do you have to do then? To admonish them 2 times, publicly. That's what Huntington did, and I'm a poor minister, but he was a strong one. When he saw something with a false doctrine sitting in church, he said, you, with your false doctrine, he says, please leave here. Don't disturb this church. And he stood up the man and went, never came back. And if they continued in false doctrines, do you know what happened? God dealt with them with a hidden arrow. For he brought it into God. Now what does the Bible say? You have to 2 times admonish them, but not secretly. When after 2 years on the Dutch Synod, the truth of the matter became confessed in the Dutch canons. The first meeting of the synod. Boheman, a man with a great beard. Fries. Leeuwarden. He said to the Arminians, Ite, he says, deruit, zegt hij. Out, deruit, out. He said, Ite. And he sent them all away. Do we dare, or are we today? Ah, but there is some truth in this, and there is some truth in that, and that's good, and that's good. Are you adhering to such church, to such a doctrine? Yeah, there's a little bit truth in it. That's it. Do you know how the devil works? By little bits, little bit, little bit, little bit, little. 2 times admonition, publicly. Yeah, but Pastor, we shouldn't lose them. A heretic comes out of the circle, wants to start his own church under heretic doctrines. And what do you know what Paul says? They are condemned by themselves because they always speak against the scriptures, and the scriptures condemns them. But if you go that route, pastor, you won't have many adherents anymore. Probably not. But probably many. For God will seal them with His Spirit of truth. But we should be more honest. And not yeah, but if you do this, people are. Yeah. You want to go? No. Do you want to go also, says the Lord Jesus, when he spoke that man is able for nothing, and unless he eats his body and drinks his blood, he can't have life. The flesh is of no use, says Christ. That's the first thing. And secondly, he places them for the necessity to be a partaker of his sacrifice, to be set free, his blood and his obedience. Now that's what Paul says. To public condemnations, and if he doesn't, if one in our midst would say that God made sin, and some have said it, that God was the originator of sin, such a man should leave. For God is not tempted with sin. We sinned. He allowed it, but that's another thing. And I could go on and on. Yeah, but you think you are better. That's not what I'm saying. I just began to say that we're all sinners. But this has to do with the doctrine, heretic doctrines. It's the same example that Christ Jesus has not come into the flesh. That are the Unitarians. You shouldn't even greet them. When a man of the Jehovah Witnesses knocks at your door, you shouldn't say hi. You shouldn't. And you shouldn't say peace to them, nor leave them in your home. You shouldn't. They dishonor your Savior. And on which side are you? What's profitable and good for them? To teach them the truth. And deny them to tell the false things in your home and house. But there it started. Do you know? They're always coming when church time is there. Heretics. And the devil likes it. The devil likes it. When you err a little bit, and then a little bit more, and then ultimately you sit in the chair of the spot of the mockers. But congregation, why do you say this? And I'm saying this. I didn't admonish you properly enough. Forgive me, Lord. But I've tried it. And if you are not totally depraved, and there is no hope in you, Christ won't be your Savior, for He seeks and finds and brings them home who have nothing than sin and rebellion and misery and enmity, even in their own hearts. Then He asked some people to bring to Him. He said, I want to. In the winter here in Nicopolis, and bring the lawyer. And in the first ages of Christianity, and it's the last, they were always traveling. He traveled from Rome to Nicopolis, to where he... There is a lot of saying and letters of Christians who were traveling all over. Meet each other. Have communion in Christ and preach the gospel in the world. To now let's go and end in prayer. Amen. Lord, what a wonder that enemies are reconciled and those who are unfruitful be blessed with the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, not my fruit. That pastors who have sometimes said, it's not too bad, let them be. And let heretics in the midst of congregations opposed to the total depravity of man and therefore to total grace in Christ. And we want to talk and deal. Yeah, we should witness, but not discuss the matters. Truth can be discussed. Truth is to be witnessed. Lord, remember us. Have mercy upon us, this congregation. And make us to be at thy sight. For thou hast said, they are not hating you. They have hated me because I've said that there's no good in them. That's the enmity by nature. We don't want to be what we are. And therefore thou art not for them what thou art. For indeed we are perfect, having no sin, as ungodly redeemed, as enemies reconciled. To thee be the glory and honor, Lord, that make us faithful in the doctrines of grace we ask and apply it to the hearts. Please, Lord, please apply it, then they will know it. Otherwise, they never know it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing lastly 368, 2 and 3. 368, 2 and 3. Arise, O God, our God, arise, and enter now in thy rest. No, 2 and 3, I said. Yeah, 2 and 3. Thy gracious covenant, Lord, fulfill. And 3, thy Zion thou hast chosen. 2 and 3, 368. Thank you. that you may go home in peace, receiving the blessings of the living God. The love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.